fire rose up from the floor in a wave as wide as the doorway and rolled forward in a surge of superheated air. It expanded as it lashed out and slammed into Nicodemus's bloodied chest. The force of it threw him back across the hallway and into the wall on the opposite side. He didn't quite go through the wall, but only because there must have been a stud lined up with his spine. The drywall crumpled in from his shoulders to his hips, and his head snapped back in a whiplash of impact. It almost seemed that his shadow was thrown back with him, slapping wetly against the wall around him like blobs of tar. The snake man moved with blinding speed, slithering to one side of the blast. The demon girl shrieked, and her bladed tresses gathered together in an effort to shield her face as the fire and concussion threw her back and away from the door. The heat was unbearable, an oven-hot flash that sucked the air from my lungs. Backwash from the explosion drove me back across the floor, rolling until I hit the wall myself. I cowered and shielded my face as the scarlet flames went out, replaced with a sudden cloud of ugly black smoke. My ears rang, and I couldn't hear anything but the hammering of my own heart. The fire spell had been something I wouldn't have done if I'd had an option. That's why I had made a blasting rod. Down and dirty, fast magic was difficult, dangerous, and likely to run out of control. The blasting rod helped me focus that kind of magic, contain it. It helped me avoid explosions that left heat burns on my lungs. I fumbled around in the blinding smoke, unable to breathe and unable to see. I found a feminine wrist with one hand, followed it up to a shoulder, and found Anna Valmont. I hauled on her with one hand, found the courier's tube with the other, and crawled for the ventilation duct, hauling them both behind me. There was air in the ventilation shaft, and Valmont coughed and stirred as I dragged her into it. Enough of the storage room had caught on fire that I had light enough to see. One of Valmont's eyebrows was gone, and one side of her face was red and blistered. I screamed, "Move!" at her as loudly as I could. Her eyes blinked with dull comprehension as I pushed her past me and toward the opening in the laundry room, and she started moving stiffly in front of me. Valmont didn't crawl as quickly as I wanted her to, but then she wasn't the one closest to the fire and the monsters. My heart hammered in my ears, and the shaft felt oppressively small. I knew that the demonic forms of the Denarians were tougher than either me or Anna Valmont. Unless I'd gotten lethally lucky, they'd recover from the blast, and it wouldn't be long before they came after us. If we couldn't shake them or get into a car, and fast, they'd catch us, plain and simple. I shoved at Valmont, growing more frantic as my imagination turned up images of whipping tendrils cutting my legs to shreds, or venomous serpent fangs sinking into my calves as scaled hands dragged me backward by my ankles. Valmont tumbled out of the air shaft and into the laundry room. I followed her closely enough to make me think of a program I'd seen about howler monkey mating habits. My ears were starting to get their act together, and I heard the high, buzzing ring of a fire alarm in the hallway outside.
"Harry?"
Susan said. She looked between Valmont and me and helped the woman to her feet.
"What's happening?"
I got to my feet and choked out, "We need to be gone, right now." Susan nodded at me and then shoved me, hard. I went stumbling sideways and into the wall of drying machines, slamming my shoulder and head. I looked back to see the demon girl's hair pureeing its way out of the vents. And then the rest of the Denarian came out, scales, claws, and all, rolling to all fours with dizzying grace. Fast as the Denarian was, Susan was faster. The demon girl came up with those rich lips split into a snarl, and Susan drove her heel right into them. She kicked hard enough that something crunched, and the demon girl screamed in surprise and pain.
"Susan!"
I shouted.
"Look!"
I was going to say out, but there wasn't time. Half a dozen bunches of tendrils drove at Susan like spears. Susan dodged them, all of them. She had to fling herself across the room to the washing machines to do it, and the Denarian regained her balance and pursued. More blades drove toward Susan, but she ducked to one side, one hand ripping open the door to one of the washing machines. Susan slammed the door down on the demon girl's hair, and without missing a beat, kicked the Denarian's reverse-jointed knee in sideways. The demon girl shrieked in pain, struggling. I knew she was strong enough to pull free of the washing machine before long, but for the moment, she was trapped. Susan reached up and tore a fold-down ironing board from where it was mounted on a nearby wall. Then she spun around and slammed it, edge-on, into the Denarian. Susan hit her 3 times, in the wounded leg, the small of the back, and the back of the neck. The Denarian shrieked at the first 2 blows, and then collapsed into a limp heap at the 3rd. Susan stared down at the demon girl for a moment, dark eyes hard and hot. The ironing board's metal frame was now bent and twisted from the force of the blows Susan had dealt with it. Susan took a deep breath and then tossed the ironing board to one side, straightening her hair with one hand, and commented, "Bitch." "Wow," I said. "Are you all right, Harry?" Susan asked. She wasn't looking at me. "Yeah," I said. "Wow." Susan walked over to the counter where she'd left her clutch. She opened it, got the phone, and said, "I'll have Martin pick us up at the exit." I shook myself into motion and helped draw Anna Valmont to her feet. "What exit?" Susan pointed wordlessly at a fire escape diagram on the wall, still not looking at me. She spoke maybe a 12 quiet words into the phone and then folded it shut. "He's coming. They're evacuating the hotel. We'll need to..." I felt a surge of magical energies. The air around Susan grew darker and then coalesced into a cloud of shadows. Within a heartbeat, the cloud deepened, then solidified into a writhing tangle of snakes of all sizes and colors wrapped all around Susan. The air suddenly filled with a sound of hissing and buzzing rattles. I saw the snakes begin to strike, fangs flashing. Susan let out a scream. I turned to the doorway and saw the snake man, Denarian, standing in it. One not-quite-human hand was held out toward Susan. His serpent mouth was rolling out hissing sounds, and I could feel the thrumming tension in the air between the Denarian's outstretched hand and Susan.